I said in Panchadashi, first chapter, having covered certain portions such as Atma Swarupam being fullness, then Panchakosha Viveka, we also seen how he used the Anivyatireka method to arrive at the truth. Then we also saw Tattvamasi Mahavakya Vichara. And now the Shravanam aspect is over. The Mananam aspect of the teaching, Mananam aspect of the study is now discussed here. How to do Mananam, actually what is Mananam? To understand the Mananam, the teacher himself in this chapter introduces the discussion. When he says, Brahman is absolute reality, Brahman is revealed through the Mahavakyam. And the Mahavakyam itself, Mahavakyam stands for the Shastram. So Mahavakyam itself cannot reveal the truth. There are three words, Tattu, Tvam, Asi. There's a Aham Brahma Asmi, like that. So how do those three words reveal the absolute reality? This is what the reality is. This is how the reality is. That reality, which is the truth, reality of everything, is there as the very truth of you, I. Tattu, Tvam, Asi. So this knowing yourself is knowing the truth, because you are essentially non-separate from the reality, or identical with the reality. Identical with Ishvara, you are the truth. You are the absolute reality which you need to know, which you want to know. When Upanishad, so Upanishadic words, they do not reveal, because Tattvamasi, when it is unfolded by the teacher. So when the teacher, Guru, unfolds Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, then oneself being Brahman becomes clear. Because Lakshana Vrittihi is used. Lakshana Vritti, Bhagatyaga Lakshana, Lakshana Vrittihi is used. The method in which you take certain aspect and you also negate certain aspect. From the standpoint of the reality, how essentially you are one. Even though there is difference between you and Ishvara, you and individual and the total. Then, so here the Guru becomes the revealer of the truth, and Mahavakyam becomes the Pramanam, instrument of revelation. And what is revealed through the instrument of revelation is Brahman. This revelation of Brahma, it is Brahman is revealed. Therefore, there is connection, what now? Revealer, revealing, and revealed connection. The way Pratipadaka, Pratipadya, Sambandha is there between the Shastram and the reality. Pratipadaka, Pratipadya, Sambandha is there. Shastram is the instrument of revelation, and Brahman is revealed, and the teacher, because he unfolds the Mahavakyam, he becomes the revealer. So the teaching, Shravanam is over. But here the Mananam comes. What is Mananam? When other person comes and puts his doubts across, and your knowledge may be shaken. You may be disturbed if you are not 100% clear. So the other person here, Vidyaranya Swami first brings into the picture the Nayayikaha, logician, Nyaya philosopher. And we saw last class, I want to repeat this, what I said the previous classes, so that I can go ahead. He says, if there is Pratipadaka Pratipadya Sambandha, there is connection between the Shastram and the reality. If there is revealer, instrument of revelation on the revealed connection, Brahman being the object of revelation, object revealed, Brahman becomes one of the members of the Triputi Bhedaha. Triputi means a group of three factors called knower, known, knowledge, performer, performed, performance, and revealer, revealed, revelation or instrument of revealing. It's called Triputi Bhedaha, a group of three members. Three members is called Triputi. I repeat it, Triputi means a group of three members. And when we say Brahman is the revealed, becomes the revealed, Brahman is revealed through the Mahavakyam by the teacher Guruhu, the revealer. Brahman as an object of revelation is as though one of the members of the Triputi. Once Brahman becomes one of the members of the Triputi, Brahman becomes what now? Vikalpaha. Vikalpavat Brahma. Vikalpavat Brahma means Brahman is subject to divisions. Then Vikalpatvam, division means anything subject to division is mithya. Absolute reality, Brahma, absolute reality is indivisible. Paramarthikam Satyam is indivisible. Anything indivisible cannot be the members of a member of the Triputi. Okay, therefore it cannot be revealed. Absolute reality is cannot be revealed. Why cannot be revealed? Because anything revealed becomes member of a Triputi. Subject to division, get divided, isn't it? Subject to division. Any subject to division, it cannot be Satyam. Therefore, it is Mithya. If Brahman is Brahman is Paramarthikam Satyam, indivisible, then it cannot be revealed through Mahavakyam. It means Mahavakyam cannot reveal Brahman. Why? Because it is not subject to division. It is non-revealable. If it is revealed by Mahavakyam, it cannot be Paramarthikam Satyam. Why? Because then it is subject to division, cannot be Paramarthikam Satyam. It becomes a Mithya. Anyway, Mithya means by knowing the division, Mithya Brahma, which is revealed through Mahavakyam, which is subject to division, which has the division as its attribute. Therefore, it becomes what now? There's a Dvaitam also is there, subject to Dvaitam. Dvaitam is what? Mithya. So, Mithya Dvaita Brahma Jnanam, subject to division, there is no moksha, really bondage. So if moksha is not possible, for moksha what you need is Advaita Brahma Jnanam, non-dual reality. But here, non-dual reality can be revealed. But what is revealed is because what? Brahman, which is a Dvaitam Brahma, which is subject to division. Brahma subject to division is Dvaitam Brahma. It is Mithya. Mithya means by knowing Mithya, something Mithya which is not absolutely real, there is no moksha. Therefore, the very effort involved in understanding the unfoldment of the Mahavakyam is a waste of time, doesn't serve any purpose, which means even Shastra study itself becomes useless. Why? Shastra study ultimately should help you understand the Mahavakya, revelation of Mahavakyam. What is revealed by the Mahavakyam? And what is revealed by Mahavakyam is only Dvaitam Brahma, means Brahma is subject to division, subject to differences, duality, which is Mithya. Therefore, moksha does not serve the purpose. Therefore, study itself is a waste of time. This is the first argument of the Nayayika. Then, here you have to answer. Whoever has heard the Shastram, understood the Shastram, when we listen first time after having done the shravanam, we will get confused. Yes, shastra mahavakyam is instrument of revelation and guru unfolds is the revealer and brahman is what object of revelation. Brahman is revealed through the mahavakyam. Therefore definitely become what now, member of the triputi. Therefore it is the dvaitam object to division. There is division means duality has come, and you are knowing the Brahman which is subject to duality or division, but now is of no use, because anything subject to duality, division is mithya. It doesn't, we also may have that doubt. Suppose we do not know what is Vajishyan stand, though we are so ignorant, we can go ahead keep be listening. But if the logic, somebody who knows logic and logics, Tarka Shastram, if he comes and argues, you may get confused. So you may, your knowledge may be shaken. Therefore, and here Vidyaranya Swami wants to give an answer. So understanding the answer for the query, the doubt raised by the logician is what? Is called for us mananam. Because you are removing your doubt. Some doubt is resolved now. Yes. Such doubt is possible, and that doubt has been resolved. To resolve that doubt, now he answers. I told you already, there's two different ways of answering. You can give an answer directly, an appropriate answer. But without giving the appropriate answer, you can simply asking a counter question, giving him the doubt, asking him the counter, putting the counter question, pointing out the defect in his question, pointing out the defect in his system of philosophy. Also, you can say, your argument is defective. Therefore, I don't need to answer your question. Another one way of say giving an answer. One can simply quietly escape from answering. Evade from answering the question by putting a counter question. This is one way of answering. This is refuting other person's argument. Another way is appropriately giving a proper reasoning answer why he is wrong and how he is right. I can establish how I am right. I can also prove how other person is wrong also by giving a proper answer. And Vidyaranya Swami gives both the answers, but he gives that. He puts his counter question, presents his counter question two verses, 50 and 51 and 52nd verse, he gives the proper answer. Anyway, so we'll see that. What he do? I told. Vidyaranya Swami himself gives, presents first three possible options to the Nayayika. Okay? You can take it. Advaita Vedanti gives three options to Nayayika, the logician. Why? Only these are the possible, three possible options for him to prove. He says, Vedanti says, that the logician has taken the vikalpaha, vikalpatvam, the division, savikalpatvam or vikalpatvam, vikalpaha, as an attribute of Brahman. We say Brahma savikalpam. Brahma savikalpam means sagunam or savikalpam, because Brahman is subject to division. Why? Because Brahman is one of the members of the Triputi. Why? Because Brahman is revealed through the Mahavakyam. Brahman is an object revealed through the Mahavakyam. Therefore, Brahman is one of the members of Triputi. Therefore, Brahman has was subject to division. Therefore, division is the attribute of Brahman. vikalpatvam brahmanaha gunaha. Is it savikalpatvam? So being subject to division, subject to duality is what? Brahman's gunaha, attribute. Who says this? This is the Vedanti presents this view of logician. Then he says, then he gives his answer. If the logician says division is the gunaha, division is the attribute of Brahman, he did not want to say how there is no division on the part of Brahman. That comes later on. If the Vedanti gives an answer how Brahman is not subject to division, vikalpatvam, savikalpatvam is not the attribute of Brahman, if he gives an answer, that's a direct appropriate answer. Instead of giving that answer, what does the Vedanti do here? He says, first thing he asks is there something called attribute in an absolute sense? My God, look at this. We talk about the attributes. Is there something called attribute in absolute sense? That asking this question, he says, would you please establish the attribute, existence of the attribute logically? You are a great logician. Would you please establish the existence of a thing called attribute logically? Why he's asking very cleverly? He knows 100%. Vedanti knows here.
Yeah.
The attribute cannot be established logically. There is no such a thing called absolute. Absolutely, something called absolute. What is absolute is only Brahma. Except Atma, the consciousness Brahma, everything else is relative only. Nothing is absolute here. Therefore, you can talk about the attribute, which is something relative. There's no such a thing called absolute attribute. In fact, there's nothing which is absolute. There cannot be attribute also absolute attribute. So he cannot even establish the existence of the attribute logically. So he asks these three options he gives. First option, suppose attribute always needs to rest on a given substance. If you say blue pot and the blue color should rest on a noun called what? The pot. A substance must be there where the attribute can rest. So he's asking, the attribute can rest on a substance which has an attribute. So, an attribute can rest on an attributeless substance. The attributeless substance or substance with the attribute. Two things. A substance with the attribute and substance with attributeless substance. Two things. Where does the attribute rest? Can you say an attribute rests on an attributeless substance? Attribute rests on an attributeless substance. Can you say? If you say attribute rests on an attributeless substance, the very sub-sentence is what? Contradictory. How can an attribute rest on an attributeless substance? If you say yes, there is an error. The error of contradiction is called what? வியாகாத தோஷஹ, அதர்வைஸ் வியாஹத்திஹி. வியாகாத்தஹ இஸ் அ மாஸ்குலின் ஜெண்டர் வேர்ட், வியாஹத்திஹி இஸ் அ ஃபெமினின் ஜெண்டர் வேர்ட். வியாகத்திஹி வியாஹத்திஹி வியாகாத்தஹ மீன்ஸ் தி எரர் ஆஃப் கான்ட்ரடிக்ஷன். இஃப் யூ சே an attribute rests on an attributeless substance, error. Okay, if okay, then that is not possible, ruled out. So definitely an attribute must rest only on an substance which has an attribute. Now the question comes, if the attribute rests on a substance which has an attribute, then the substance would, this attribute must rest on the substance as well as the attribute, isn't it? So if we say the attribute rests on the substance which has the same attribute, this attribute must rest on the substance as well as the same attribute, then here also it is not possible. You know why? Here comes an error. What is the error? The error is self error of self dependence. Error of self dependence means what? One attribute cannot rest on the same attribute. Why? Because one cannot sit on one's own lap. Is it? You cannot sit on your own lap. You can go and sit on somebody else's lap or head also, but one cannot sit on one's own lap. This is called what? Error of self-dependence. See, this self-dependence, don't mistake it for Atma. Okay? That is self-dependent, different. Here it's called Atmashraya Doshaha. I think English is confusing. You better use Sanskrit. Atmashraya Doshaha. Atmashraya Doshaha means one attribute resting on the attribute, the same attribute. When does this first Atmashraya Doshaha or one attribute, the error of one attribute sitting on its the same attribute, isn't it? This problem of error of self-dependence comes when, only when we say the attribute rests on a substance with the same attribute. Okay. Now the next question comes. Suppose if we say, now two doshas you have understood now. One is, first dosha is what? Vyaghata doshaha or vyahatihi, error of contradiction. That is the attribute resting on an attributeless thing is what? There is an error, erroneous. You cannot say that. If you say attribute rests on a substance which has an attribute, then this attribute must sit on both attribute as well as the substance, isn't it? Then what comes? Atmashraya doshaha. Error of self-dependence. Okay. It's also not possible. Therefore, attribute cannot rest on substance with an attribute, same attribute. Okay. Suppose if we say, the third option he gives, if the one given attribute rests on the substance which has a different attribute. I'm repeating mainly, it is not very important, just some intellectual exercise. if an attribute rests on the substance with a different attribute, not the same attribute. Same attribute means what? Atmashriya dosha. If a different attribute means what? Now, the question comes, if an attribute, a given attribute has rests on the substance with a different attribute, then we have to say, another problem is, where does the first attribute rest? The second attribute can, first attribute can rest on a second attribute. Okay. Okay, you said one cannot sit on one's own lap. One can go and sit on somebody else's lap, definitely. That is possible. So you can say what? One given attribute rests, can rest on the substance with a different attribute. So that this given attribute can be on the other attribute as well as on the substance. Now the question comes, where does the second attribute, the different attribute, rest? Again, all the problems will come. So you have to introduce what now? A third attribute. Or you can say what? No. The different attribute rests on this given attribute. This attribute rests on the other attribute. One attribute rests on the other attribute. Other attribute rests on this attribute, if we say, then what will happen? Again, there's an error of anyonya ashraya doshaha. Anyonya ashraya doshaha comes. Anyonya ashraya doshaha means I cannot sit on the lap of a person who is sitting on my lap. Okay, I cannot sit on the lap of a person who is sitting on my lap. This is called what? Anyonya ashraya doshaha. Therefore, the one given attribute cannot rest on the substance with another attribute also. So, attribute cannot rest on an attributeless substance. An attribute cannot rest on the substance with the same attribute. An attribute cannot rest on substance with a different attribute also. Okay. Now one more option we'll take it. Suppose there's a third attribute. Attribute can rest on substance with a different attribute. The third attribute. Again, what's the problem? We have to say, so where can the second attribute rest? We can say the third attribute can rest on the first attribute. Then what happens? It's like a three now. John begs Peter. Peter begs James. And again, James begs John. Okay, three people. One beggar, I lend a loan to other person. Other person lends a loan to other person. Again, the third fellow comes to the first one. How can a penniless person give to another person? Isn't it? Again, he comes back to the third one. The third one comes to the first. And here again, this error. And this error is not possible. It's not at all possible. And this error is called Chakrakam, the error of cyclicity. Error of cyclicity. Now, how many errors you have seen now? Suppose if we go on presently, no, one more attribute. Again, how many ever attributes you add also, then what? Again, there'll be a problem of establishing the first attribute. You cannot establish the existence of the one attribute resting on the substance, the same attribute. You cannot establish the existence of attribute resting on substance, a different attribute also. Therefore, if we go on, it will keep on going. What happened? There will be the problem of infinite regression. That's called anavastha doshaha. Impossibility of establishing the attribute. Anavastha doshaha. So, five defects. So, in Nayayika, when he comes out with his one small doubt, and he is just taking his one thing called attribute, it is not possible for any logician to establish the existence of attribute, thing called attribute, logically. Therefore, you cannot even establish the attribute logically, and how can you talk about the savikalpatvam being the attribute of Brahman? This answer itself is enough for the logician to keep quiet. Okay, thank you very much for making it very clear. Bye, you'll immediately leave the place and go away. But he does not leave. Before he wants to leave, he wants to make it very clear. Never ever come back again to mention that with your doubts. To make it what he says? He says the entire the system of logic, entire system of logic, here the whole system of philosophy is what now? Illogical. The entire Nyaya system of philosophy itself is illogical, because when we study the Nyaya philosophy, it sounds very brilliant, very intelligent, and then superficially, initially, they may sound very nice, but when we really try to understand things and probing much deeply, stirring deeper and deeper, and we go, then you can find that everything is illogical. They cannot establish anything logically. Which means the Nyaya system of philosophy itself is what? The Nyaya is not really Nyaya. There is illogical. So he says, and later on, and not so five doshas. Understood now? Anavastha dosha is the error of infinite regression. So vyahatihi or vyaghataha, error of contradiction. Atmashraya dosha, error of self-dependence. Anyonyashraya dosha, error of mutual dependence. Then chakrakam, error of cyclicity, and error of infinite regression, the last one. Anavastha dosha. So vyahatihi or vyaghataha, atmashriya dosha, anyonyashriya dosha, chakrakam, anavastha dosha. So five defects. Okay. He doesn't need to go to fifth one. He, even immediately after the first, he could have said,
the error of infinite regression, but still he wants to make it very clear, want to prove that an attribute cannot be established logically. Having said that, now he talks about the Nyaya philosophy in a nutshell. In fact, Vidyaranya Swami enumerates 5 padarthas, but let us understand all the 7. The entire Nyaya philosophy, if we take, the Nyaya philosophy divides this entire cosmos into 7 substances, 7 padarthaha. Sapta padarthaha. Okay? I told you last class, the sapta padarthaha. Cling this. I was not on this WhatsApp before. And now this Arsha Vidya Acharya, no, Arsha Vidya Vidyarthi Sabha. Something I put in my number. Now 300 sadhus are sending all the time. Cling, 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 cling. Like teenagers. I want to do this. Remove my number from that. The sannyasis, what sannyasis? Yeah, so sapta padarthaha. So according to Nyaya philosophy, the entire universe can be divided into 7 padarthas, 7 substances. I told you last class, Vidyaranya Swami enumerates only 5. Let us take all the 7. First is Gunaha. Gunaha is actually attribute. So he has, attribute, Gunaha. Then Kriya or Karma. Function or action or activities. Then Jatihi. The general characteristic feature. Or is a general characteristic. Jatihi, like Manushya Jatihi, Mruga Jatihi, Pakshi Jatihi, like a tree Jatihi, plant Jatihi, mobile, immobile, like that, Jati. Generalizing the things. Generality. Then Dravyam. Dravyam is the 4th substance. Dravyam is substance. Then Sambandaha, relationship or connection. The Jatihi, generality, is a unifying factor. Then a Sambandaha, relationship or connection. Then Viseshaha, 6th. Viseshaha means the particularity. Viseshaha. Then 7th one, Abhavaha, absence. So these are the 7 sapta padarthaha, 7 substances. Then which constitute the universe for him. What is universe for him? All these things put together is the universe for him. So there is a verse also which enumerates these 7. I don't know whether I told last class. I do too many class. I forget which class what I said. So Dravyam Gunas Tatha Karma. Dravyam gunastatha karma, samanyam saviseshakam. Samanyam saviseshakam, samavayastatha bhavaha, padartha saptakirtitaha. Okay, padarthaha saptakirtitaha, the 7 padarthas. Okay. Now the question is, now what he wants to say here, not only this, not only the attribute gunaha, all the seven padarthas, nothing can be, none of the seven padarthas can be established logically. Even the karma, kriya, there's no absolute karma. There's no absolute kriya. There's no absolute padartha, substance. There's no absolute, nothing can be established, existence of seven padarthas. None of the padarthas can be established logically. Not only the gunaha, leave alone guna, not only attribute. All these are non-establishable logically. So, what is the answer here? The whole Nyaya philosophy is based on the seven padarthas. Now you are building a big system of philosophy, your view or contention, and holding on to these seven as the foundation stones. Okay? These are the seven padarthas, and these form the foundation for the entire system of Nyaya philosophy. The foundation itself is weak. The foundation itself cannot be, the seven padarthas cannot be established logically. And imagine the whole construction of this Nyaya system of philosophy based on seven padarthas, which has no really, you know, which cannot stand in front of the Advaitin's vision. Therefore he says, holding on to this seven padarthas, nothing, none of which can be established logically. And here he wants to come and prove what? That is, Brahman is Sagunam. Brahman has Savikalpatvam. Brahman has, he wants to point out the error in this statement. Mahavakyam reveals Brahman, absolute reality. Therefore, you cannot establish, when Nyaya philosopher cannot himself establish his own padarthas, his own basic padarthas, and where is the question of establishing anything, any contention he has, and holding on to his such erroneous, fallacious contention, if he comes to disprove something else, that is not acceptable. Therefore, this is the counter question he presents to make him, he could have stopped, he did not answer whether Brahman is revealed, Brahman has avikalpam or not, he did not answer. The answer already, he has been refuted. But still, he wants to give a proper answer in order to strengthen the Vedanta student's understanding. He gives the proper answer also. That he gives in the next verse. Let us read the verses here. Savi, 49th verse. Savikalpasya lakshyatve lakshyasya syadavastuta nirvikalpasya lakshyatvam nadrishtam nacha sambhavi. So he talks all this, we have already seen the meaning. I already explained the meaning now. Vikalpo nirvikalpasya savikalpasya vabhavet adyevyahatiranyatra anavastatmashrayadayaha. So in this 150th verse, Vidyaranya Swami mentions all the possible errors on the part of the Nayayika, Nyaya philosopher.
So vikalpaha nirvikalpasya savikalpasya va bhavet. So vikalpaha, the division as an attribute, can rest on an attributeless thing or a substance with an attribute. If you say attribute rests on the attributeless, then adhyay means what? In the first option. What the first option? If adhyay means in the first option, with regard to the first option. And if you say the attribute rests on an attributeless, it's a contradiction. This is called what? Vyahatihi. Adhyay vyahatihi. Got it? Next. Anyatra. Otherwise, if we say the attribute rests on the substance with the attribute, then all other problems comes. What are the problems? For the anavastha doshaha, the error of infinite regression, then atmashrayadayaha, atmashraya dosha, he mentions error of self-dependence. Adayaha means, you have to include what? Adi sabda stands for the anyonya ashraya dosha, chakrakam, etc. Other doshas are mentioned. Three he mentions, the two are implied by the word adi shabda, adayaha, etc. We have seen all the five. He mentions only three. We have included the two also. What is not mentioned here? Anyonya ashraya dosha is not mentioned. Chakrakam is not mentioned. We have to include them. Okay. Is one verse finished? Now, the 51st verse, in the first verse, he said how the defect in his argument, the non-establishability of the attribute, something called attribute, is discussed in the 50th verse. The 51st verse, he says, the entire Nyaya philosophy itself is what? The system of love itself is illogical. He says here in the 51st verse, where he enumerates five padarthas. We have already seen seven padarthas. Let us read that now. Idam guna kriya jati. Idam guna kriya jati. Dravya sambandha vastusho. Dravya sambandha vastusho. Samam tena swarupasya. Swarupasya sarvametaditishyatam. Sarvametaditishyatam. Samam tena swarupasya. Sarvametaditishyatam. Now he says, idam gunaha kriya jatihi dravyam sambandaha. Five he mentions. We have added what now? We have also added abhavaha and one more we have added. So now in all of them, none of the seven padarthas can be established logically. Not only gunaha, all the seven also cannot be established logically. You can take it for that matter. Now, where does the kriya exist? Where does the kriya rest? Where is the action? Can you say action rests on the substance which has an action or an actionless substance? Anything must rest on, only take only one. Okay, you already established, understood the gunaha, attribute. Now, next take the karma, action. Is there something called absolute action? My God, the whole life is performing actions. Life is performance of actions. And the living means the functions which are happening constantly. Now, Shastram says, you cannot establish something called action. There's no such a thing called absolute action. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Now, what about listening now? I'm talking, you're listening. We're all sitting together. Now Shastram says what? Because for us everything is very real. It's not relative. There's no thing called absolute action. If you say there is absolute action, you have to say establish what? Where does the action rest? Where is this action? Where does the action exist? Does action exist on the part of the actionless substance? Or does the action rest on the part of the substance which has action? If we again analyze, we cannot establish. You cannot establish, first of all, substance. There is no such a thing called absolute substance where all these can rest. You cannot establish the absolute substance at all first of all. Okay, that's what he mentions here. Therefore, nothing can be established. Now he says, not only that, see, the for Nyaya philosopher, the absolute substance is matter. That itself is a problem. What is the absolute ultimate substance for the Nyaya philosopher? Matter. That's why we call him materialist. Matter is the ultimate absolute for him. Like our modern day scientist. Therefore matter is not what for him. For him, substance is not one, many. Whereas for a Vedanti, absolute substance is consciousness. So he can go, in fact his discovery has reached unto the edge of the matter, but he stops there. We are told in last class also, where the modern physics ends and there begins the metaphysics. There begins, you know, I don't want to say metaphysics also, there begins the Vedanta. Which means where they cannot penetrate. You know why? Why they can't penetrate? Why can't a scientist arrive at the God? Why can't a scientist go beyond the matter? Because his search is only within the realm of the matter. A modern scientist's search is only within the realm of the matter. How much ever you search, you can discover what now. He comes out with so many new discoveries of relative facts within the realm of ignorance. I'm not saying it is useless. Okay? But all his discoveries of all subtle facts are within the realm of the ignorance. Within the realm of the matter only. So they're useful. The more discoveries, and more there's a get more discoveries and more comforts we have. Why? Technology also develops. The technological development is based on the scientific discoveries. We discover, then we make use of it and make our life more comfortable. So more and more and more comforts, because there's a greater development on the part of technology. Because of new scientific discoveries, they are fantastic. More comforts, but there's no luxury. There's no real luxury. There's luxury. People will say, argue on. That's not true. Life is more luxurious. With the less comforts also, you can have luxury. With all the comforts also, you may lack luxury. It is possible. You know, comforts really, what I want to say here is,
Because the matter is the basis. Why modern scientists cannot? Because search is only within the realm of the matter. What is, what is, what is, what is. So it helps him what? It helps him to discover more and more and more within the realm of matter. You probe, the mind has the capacity to discover more, discover more. This is all rishitvam, the capacity to be the one to whom the facts become revealed. Rishitvam means what? Enjoying the status of being the rishi. Enjoy status of the being the rishi means enjoying the status of having the facts revealed to one. We can call Einstein a rishi. Definitely, a fact got revealed to him. So when you all the time place attention on one thing, focused, you probe into one thing and find definitely new facts you do discover. Much subtler and subtler and subtler and subtler facts. Even we cannot even perceive, even neutrons and protons, we can't perceive. Molecules and particles and all that. But still all facts reveal amazing, amazing contributions on the part of science. But still, what is not there? The discoveries are within the realm of ignorance, in the realm of matter. Because the search is only within the realm of the matter. To go beyond the matter. Where does the matter exist? Where is matter located? They wait to understand. You can say the maximum, because I sometimes go to this YouTube and you can say, maximum is what? They come to this, the last thing is this understanding, talking about its singularity. And I can say in singularity means singularity is a condition where it's like something like in sleep. In sleep, what you're experiencing is singularity. I'm going to give you an example. Singularity means what? That's a Advaita Anubhava. The non-dual experience. It's not non-vision. It is not the vision of non-duality of the reality. It's a non-dual experience, Advaita Anubhava, where you are not knowing you are, not knowing the universe is, you are just you are. But without the knowledge you are in the world is, there's no division, there's no duality, there's no plurality, there's no multiplicity, there's no action, there's nothing is there, you alone are. In sleep, you have Advaita Anubhava. And the singularity is something like that, where you cannot see anything. In sleep, what can you see? So you're incapable of seeing anything. The same as singularity also, they cannot really see anything. That is the latest they're talking about in science. What I'm saying, why? Because when the matter becomes the ultimate substance, the problem is, you can't, because matter itself is not the absolute. For us, matter is not unreal. It is not non-existent. It is not tucham. But it is not absolutely real also for a Vedanti. Whereas for a modern scientist, matter is the absolute. For Nayayika, for logician, matter is the absolute, ultimate substance. For a Vedantin, matter is not the absolute. It is neither the, it is not the non-existent. It is not the absolute also. Isn't it? It is not Sat, it is not Asat, Asat, not Tucham. Sad asad bhyam anirvachaniyam. Isn't it? That word we have to give a different word. It is only mithya. what now? Mithya. Mithya matter for him is satyam. Therefore, the problem. Whereas for us, Vedantin, absolute substance is consciousness. And there is one. For him, there are many. For a substance is one, the consciousness is only one. This difference we have to remember, okay, between him and us. Therefore, now the question comes, in the 52nd verse, okay, in the 51st itself, you take that now, etat sarvam, sarvam etad, itish sarvam etad, Swarupasya Ishyatam. Iti Ishyatam. No? Ishyatam. This is a very important sentence. It is that Sarvam Yetat. I repeat, Sarvam Yetat or Yetat Sarvam. The 51st verse, see the last line. Sarvam Yetat. And read the Iti. Okay? Ishyatam. Sarvam etat, you have to add with the swarupasya. You can say etat sarvam or sarvam etat swarupasya ishyatam. This is the important verse, sentence important. Sarvam etat swarupasya ishyatam. Take only that much from that verse. That is the proper answer. Through that small sentence, Vidyaranya Swami as a Vedantin gives a proper answer. It is actually a Vedantic technical answer. So the Nyaya philosopher says what? All the attributes are resting on the substance. So, all the attributes resting on the substance is his what? Basic approach, fundamental approach. So, all the functions also rest on what? Rest on the substance only. So, relationships also rest on the substance. Therefore, for him, the very substance is what? The matter. Therefore, he is being a materialist. He is a matter-centered philosopher. He is. Therefore, all his padarthas rest on this matter, the actual substance. So, if we follow, if we really accept the Nyaya philosopher, then we'll end up with this fivefold problems. Why these fivefold problems? What he is holding on to the matter is not at all. You cannot establish the very matter first of all. The existence of matter itself cannot be established. There is no matter. According to Vedantin, all that is there is only consciousness. Matter is relative. It is not absolute. Therefore, what relative is what? Relative is dependent of appearance of this absolute only. There is no such a thing called really absolute matter. When the very matter, which is the fundament, which is the substance for him, itself cannot be established logically. And where is the question of all the other things, padarthas, according to him, which rest on the matter, how can you establish other things? In Tamil, we say, no, people ask, this person is not even asked to come and sit in the panti. Panti means when they serve the food, there's a row of, the row is called panti. People have to go and sit in a pankti to eat. And somebody is not even asked to go and sit in the pankti. And he says, oh, the banana leaf has a hole. You are not even asked to sit. And why do you point out the hole in the banana leaf? பங்கிலேயே உட்கார வேண்டானா எலை ஓட்டேனா இட் விச் மீன்ஸ் இட் இஸ் நாட் இட் இஸ் இன் தி சேம் வே யூ கேனாட் இட் இஸ் கேனாட் அன் எஸ்டாப்ளிஷ்ட் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ் ஆஃப் மேட்டர் அண்ட் ஹவு கேன் யூ டாக் அபவுட் தி ஆல் தி பதார்த்தஸ் ஆல் அதர் திங்ஸ் நோ இஸ் ரெஸ்டிங் ஆன் தி பதார்த்தா தேர் கம்ப்ளீட்லி இல்லாஜிக்கல் It means Nyaya philosophy itself is what? Illogical. What he say here? So sarvam etat swarupasya ishyatam. Everything else is problem. Okay. Now he gives the proper answer, the 52nd verse. Sarvam ishyata means all these also have the problem. None of his 7 padarthas can be established logically. Okay.
Vikalpa tadabhavabhyam. विकल्प तदभावाभ्याम् असंस्पृष्टात्मवस्तुनि असंस्पृष्टात्मवस्तुनि विकल्पितत्वलक्ष्यत्व सम्बन्धाद्यास्तु कल्पिताः विकल्पितत्वलक्ष्यत्व विकल्पित சம்பந்தாத்யாஸ்து கல்பிதாஹ.
Okay, now this is a proper answer. Proper answer for what? Why proper answer is given here? It is to reinforce the Vedantic student's understanding. He gives the proper answer. If we have, he may ask, is Brahman, as Brahman revealed? Yes. Tattvamasi Mahavakyam does reveal Brahman. That is very suddenly Shastra. If Brahman as revealed, does it become a member of the Triputi, then can we say Vikalpa, Vikalpaha, the division is Brahman's attribute? Is Brahman, if we say Brahman has an attribute, Brahman is Sagunam Brahma or Nirgunam Brahma? Is Brahman, is absolute reality Sagunam or Nirgunam? Is it attributeless or Brahman with the attributes? You have to say here very clearly. Or the answer, Brahma Nirgunam Eva, absolute reality is of the nature of attributelessness. Brahma Nirgunam, you should not have a doubt at all. It is for our reinforcement. Absolute reality, absolute substance for us is one, and that one truth, one reality is consciousness, and which is of the nature of attributelessness. Brahma Nirgunam, Atma Nirgunaha. Atma and Brahma are all the words revealing the reality in terms of its nature. Therefore, Brahma, Atma, Atma Nirgunaha, Brahma Nirgunam, consciousness is of the nature of attributelessness.
So this division is not an attribute on the part of consciousness. Therefore, the thing is, what he says here, now Nayayika wants to slowly he got some strength. He was all this time, he was just breathless. Now somehow he tries to get some strength and wants to open his mouth and say something. Just, I agree everything you said. Okay. But you say Brahman is Nirgunam. Nirgunam Brahma. Reality is of the nature of attributelessness. But you say Brahman is revealable. But you also say what? Brahman has division as the gunaha, attribute. Nirgunam, this vikalpaha, this division is a gunaha, an attribute, which rests on the attributeless Brahman. Who says this? Nayayika. Still he has not gone away. Gone to the door, come back. Holding on to something. For what now? Hey, Brahman is Nirgunam, you say, and clearly Brahman is Nirgunam. Having said that, and Brahman, this Vikalpa is what? This division rests on Brahman, you say. Because Brahman is revealed here. If you say the attribute rests on the attributeless Brahman, what is a dosha? Vyaghata dosha, vyaghati dosha, error of contradiction. You pointed so many fallacies. Let me have the joy of pointing out one error. Again, he got a big, what a blow from Vedanti. But come on, it is not possible. We never say that, okay? It's only kalpitaha. What's that blowing word? Kalpitaha. The word with which he is Vedantin role, you know, this is kalpita as a word, important shabda. Kalpita is a very important crux word here. And this is strength, Vedanta strength is what is expressed in this word kalpita. Why? Because all these attributes, we cannot say they're all non-existent, isn't it? You can take jati. Is it jati or not? Groups. Jati is there. Actions are there or not? Of course they're there. We're all doing actions all the time. Karma, jati, gunaha, kriya, sambandaha, all these are there. They are not unreal. They are there. We are experiencing them, we are having them, we are following them, they are all there. They are not unreal, they are not like a white crow, isn't it? They are not non-existent, but they are not absolutely real also. Because when you say they are all there, but whatever, they are relatively there, they are empirically there, they all these padarthas enjoy relative reality, empirical reality. They have vyavaharika satta, vyavaharikam satyam. They're all empirically, relatively real. Actions are empirically real, relatively real. Relationships are empirically real, relatively real. They all enjoy empirical relative reality, vyavaharika satta they have. But they do not enjoy absolute reality. They are not absolutely real. Therefore, the whatever is relatively real cannot exist independently. They exist depending upon the absolute reality, satyam. Isn't it? Therefore, they all rest on what? All these attributes definitely or resting on Brahman only. All these attributes, all these saptapadarthas of akad saptapadarthas for him, we don't call them padarthas. We don't call them substances. All these are, for now, all these things definitely rest, exist, where? On the Brahman only. Brahman is the substratum. Brahman is the adhara. Brahman is the adhishtanam, wherein all of them enjoy their existence. Therefore, they are not non-existent. Therefore, he can ask the question, what? Oh, you say all of them rest on Brahman, exist in Brahman, which means Brahman, you say Brahman is Nirgunam. They all rest in Brahman, exist in Brahman. Is it contradictory? No, there's no contradiction. Vedantin says no contradiction. Why? Because what is the answer here? The two opposite things or things of two opposite attributes can coexist. The things of two opposite attributes can coexist if they enjoy the two orders of two different orders of reality. Two opposite things can coexist if those two things are in two different orders of reality. If they are or the same order of reality, they cannot coexist, isn't it? The two things can coexist if they are in two different orders of reality. Which means, if both are satyam, they cannot coexist. Both are real, they cannot coexist. If one is satyam, one is mithya, they can coexist. I can give the example how it is possible. Here, all these karma, sambandha, actions, relationships, jati, etc. are all there. But where do they exist? No, for them there's a basis. Adhishtanam is what? Nirgunam Brahma. Nirgunam Brahma is the adhishtanam for all the gunas. How is it possible? If they are not of the same order of reality, they're not in the same order of reality, they can coexist. Like what? I'll give the example. See, coming from Chennai, okay, I go back to India. Imagine, I go back to India and scorching heat in Chennai. Scorching heat. But I go back from London. That I went and saw some snow and all that. So I have, and sleeping in my Chennai bedroom, where it's a scorching heat, even the air condition doesn't work there sometimes. What I feel? I dream. And in my dream, I imagine, okay, in my dream, I see all over snow around me. In my dream, I am in London. But I'm sleeping in Chennai room. My bedroom is in Chennai house. But in my dream, I am in place where is freezing cold. Understand? Freezing cold. And I see snow all over. I go out in the snow. I take, especially in Germany, I did it really. And then I collect all this, you know, and then put them together. I collect some children with me, and I've not play with, I made Shivalingam and all with the snow. I taught them how to make, because in Germany snowfall was very nice that time. Not like, no, when you sit in with snowfall, really don't feel cold. No, I collect a lot of things, and everything was snow. I was just in the snow, lots of snow around me. I'm sitting outside the temple, and I'm with children sitting, playing with the snow, making things, murtis, forms. Is it possible? Where does the snow exist for me? In Chennai or in Germany? Chennai. And where is the scorching heat? In Chennai. And scorching heat and snow, can they coexist? Can they exist? They can exist. When? If both are real, cannot coexist. But one is satyam. Scorching heat is satyam. But the snow, surrounded by snow, is what? Pratibhasikam satyam. It is subjectively real. Scorching heat is objective reality. Vyavaharikam satyam. For everybody who lives in Chennai, including me, when you wake up, Vyavaharika Satyam, objective reality is what? The scorching heat in Chennai is objective reality. And all over snow, chill, chill, chill. My God, freezing cold. What is this, real or not for me? It is subjective reality. The Pratibhasikam Satyam. Why only I dream? What is experienced? It is my experience. It is not unreal, okay? It is not tucham. At least let me have the dream in Chennai. So what now? Diagonal opposite. But still it is what now? Pratibhasikam satyam. Subjectively real. The chill weather, the freezing cold climate, and all over snow, I'm experiencing that experience is for me. Enjoy what? Subjective reality. Pratibhasikam satyam. But what is true real for the whole of people in Chennai? Very hot. That is objective reality. Vyavaharikam satyam and Pratibhasikam satyam. Diagonally opposite, things of diagonally opposite nature, they coexist. They can coexist when one is satyam, one is mithya. If both are objectively real, no, they cannot coexist. Is it clear? They enjoy two different, they are in two orders of reality. One is objective reality, one is in subjective reality. One is subjectively real. One is objectively real. One is Vyavaharikam Satyam, one is Pratibhasikam Satyam. There are two orders, okay? There are two orders of reality. Therefore, they can coexist. Coexistence is possible. Like the mirage water. The water is there. Where there is water, there should not be dryness. There should be dampness and wetness. But you go and see the mirage water, you experience mirage water, but along with the mirage water, there also coexists what? Dryness. How can water and dryness coexist? Dryness is satyam, mirage water is mithya. You're only experiencing it. Not tucham. Is it clear? It's an experience, it is there. Therefore, satyam and mithya can coexist because one is absolutely real, one is as though seemingly, apparently real. Absolute reality and apparent reality can coexist. Therefore, Nirgunam Brahma is what? Absolute reality. All these divisions, all these attributes, all these actions, all these what now? Existence only in absolute reality. Therefore, what's the thing here now? You say, Satyam Mithya. Mithya Gunaha Satya Brahmani Vartante. Mithya Gunaha Satyam Satya Brahmani Vartante. All Mithya Gunas enjoy their existence in Satyam Brahma. Mithya waves, Mithya forms and name waves enjoys its existence in Satyam water. The same way here, you can say Mithya Gunaha. See what now? In Brahman, which is of the nature of attributelessness, all the gunas enjoy existence, seeming existence. Similarly, in Nishkriyam Brahma, Nishkriyaha Atma. In Atman, Brahman, which is of the nature of actionlessness, all the seeming actions are there. Nishkriyaha, Nishkriyam Brahma, Nishkarma Brahma, but all the karmani are there. Similarly, in Brahman has no relationship, secondless only, non-dual, secondless reality. How can there be relationship? Relationship is possible only, the second thing is that Nissambandai Brahmani, Nissambandam Brahma. But still all the relationships, seeming relationships exist where? In the relationless Brahman, which is of the nature of relationlessness. Similarly, we can say Nirvisesham. In Brahman, which is of the nature of attributelessness, all the viseshas exist. All the seeming, apparent, as though attributes obtain on the part of the Brahman, which is of the nature of attributelessness. All the seeming, empirically real, relative, as though apparent actions obtain on the part of Brahman, which is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, divisions are there. Divisions are mithya. So from the standpoint of the waves and the ocean, we can say what? Water is sagunam. Satarangam. The standpoint of the water, water is free from waves. Say waveless. Water is with the waves, the standpoint of the waves. The one which is with the waves is water. The standpoint of the water, water is waveless. Two different standpoints. The standpoint of the consciousness, the standpoint of the consciousness, there is no gunas. The standpoint of the everything else, this is gunas. So saguna vyavaharika drishtya sagunam brahma. The standpoint of the empirical relative world is reality. Brahman is what? Sagunam. The standpoint of conscious is Brahman. Brahman is nirgunam. So vyavaharika drishtya brahma nirgunam, sorry, paramarthika drishtya brahma nirgunam. The standpoint of absolute reality, reality is attributeless.
standpoint of the empirical reality, Brahman is sagunam. Vyavaharika drishtya sagunam Brahma, paramarthika drishtya nirgunam Brahma. Brahman is absolutely of the nature of attributelessness. But all the differences, division which are there are relatively real. So from the standpoint of relative reality, you can say that which obtains of sagunam is also Brahma. There is no nothing other than Brahma here. Okay? I'll do this 52nd verse. I prepared you for the 52nd verse today. The kalpita is the word. I only explained today kalpita. The rest of the words I'll explain next class. I covered this topic. The last class I introduced, I thought it might not have been very clear. Today I want to repeat it. Now it is clear, at least. Okay. Next class, kalpita means what? Only superimposition. That is what the mithya is such an important word. We cannot say it is not there at all. We cannot say it is there. Why? It has no independent existence. There is no thing called gunas, karma, sambandha, etc. By itself, there is not any independent existence. It is kalpita. Kalpita literally means projected. You can say superimposed. They're all superimposition. Therefore, we will see, therefore, mithya. That is very, very clear. Therefore, nirguna, in nirgunam Brahma, gunas enjoy their existence. These gunas, which are not equally real. If they are also real, it's not possible. Both cannot be satyam. One can be satyam, one can be mithya. Then they can coexist. Satyam and mithya can coexist. Satyam, satyam cannot coexist, isn't it? Two satyams. If this is also real, this is also real. No, that's not possible. So for us, reality is only one. Everything else is only mithya. Therefore, it is possible. Different way of unfolding it. So, kalpita word, I explained the meaning of the word kalpita today. Unless I wanted to bring your understanding, the rest we'll see next class. The whole 52nd verse I'll teach you next class. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.